Hey, everybody, it's Bear from the All About Nothing podcast. Make sure to mark your calendars. The 10th Masters of Putt-Putt tees off Friday, August 22nd at Frankie's Fun Park from 6:30 to 8:15. Teams of three or more dressed in themed outfits. They will battle for glory and prizes. Register your team by August 21st and don't be late. Putting starts at 6:45 sharp. Check out everplaysocial.com for more details. Everplay Social's 10th Masters of Putt-Putt. Again, August 22nd. At Frankie's Fun Park in Columbia. This fall, get back in the game with Everplay Sports and Social League, Columbia's home for fun, fitness, and friends. We've got leagues firing up all over town starting September 7th. Mushball softball at T.S. Martin Park, pickleball at Casey Pickleball Complex, turf soccer at Recreation Arena, indoor volleyball at Tri-City Leisure Center, bowling at Lucky Strikes, sand volleyball at Pollywogs, soccer at B Avenue and Bray Park, cornhole at Jay's Corner, hardball softball at Pacific Park, and kickball at M Avenue and B Avenue, including our same team pitch option. Kick it all off at the fall kickoff party, Thursday, September 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jay's Corner. We're giving away a ton of random raffles, and it's the perfect chance to meet your teammates before the season starts. Register by August 21st to dodge the late fees and score some limited edition fall league shirts. Hit everplaysocial.com to lock in your spot. Everplay Sports and Social. Play hard. Party harder. Hey, everybody. Barrett from the All About Nothing podcast. Look, one of the things we love to do is shout out small businesses doing cool things. And ZJZ Designs is one of them. They make these awesome seasonal and themed t-shirts, and they're not just eye-catching, they're high quality. I've ordered a few, and they've held up in the wash after wash. Plus, it feels good knowing I'm supporting a creative shop, not just feeding the Amazon machine. So if you want something fresh, funny, and made with a little extra heart, hit up ZJZDesigns.com. You'll definitely find something there to love. ZJZDesigns.com. Check them out.
The All About Nothing podcast may have language and content
that isn't appropriate for some. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome, Nothingers, to the All About Nothing podcast. This is episode number 264. I am Barrett Gruber. I am joined today by Renee and Rachel of the Big Plant Expo that is going to be taking place here in Columbia, South Carolina. I'll talk about that here in just a second. Please subscribe and share the show. That's how we get new listeners. Also, please consider supporting the show financially by visiting theallaboutnothing.com and becoming an official member, proudly calling yourself a true Nothinger. We'll have details on that at the end of the show. If you can't do that, please give us a five-star review, a like, and follow us across all of social media. You can find links at theallaboutnothing.com. So let's give a big welcome to the amazing duo behind this year's Plant Expo, the Big Plant Expo, Rachel and Renee. They've put together an epic weekend, July 26th and 27th at the South Carolina State Fairgrounds, packed with rare plants, cool vendors, and some of your favorite plant influencers from all over the world. Rachel and Renee are green thumbs making it all happen. Let's hear it for Rachel and Renee. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So exciting to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're here. And I'm going to give you more than 5 minutes. We're going to go ahead and do it as much of an hour as you all are comfortable with. I saw the eyes.
Can we talk about plants?
Sure,
she went, ooh.
I have a feeling you all can probably talk for an hour. Maybe not necessarily just about plants, but probably in respect to the expo that's coming up, because really that's what we're here to do, is promote the expo. Also, I was going to pull in one of the plants from downstairs. Yeah,
it's the star of our show, the little plant.
There's a lot of caramel coloring in the leaves here. My wife is very proud of that. So
I was going to say, I think your wife made you want to display that one today. That's her proud possession.
Guilty. I am guilty. Love it. So the Big Plant Expo is going to be at the State Fairgrounds here in Columbia, South Carolina, July 26th and 27th. How are ticket sales going?
Very good. They're doubled from last year, pre-sales anyways, and we're expecting a lot more.
Yeah, it's very exciting. How many years have you all had like plant influencers, these social media gurus?
This is our first year to actually have some major influencers. Last year we had Plant Addicted Cass. She was the one who kind of like, I don't know, gave us the chance. She was the only one last year.
She was our gateway girl.
Yep. Yeah. So we give her tons of props for that, because she definitely was our influencer who helped us last year. And she was our influencer that helped us this year gain some pretty major names for us. So
I have. Yeah, yeah, I was going to say I've seen the Plantaholic, who I follow. And actually, I think I started following it before it was even mentioned that he was coming.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, he is very entertaining to watch. And I plan on coming down and actually being able to sit and meet him. But it's going to be kind of set up the same way that a lot of like conventions, like comic cons and things like that, where they're going to, I assume there's going to be tables set up for these influencers to meet with the people that are coming to the expo, right?
Yep. So we're doing things a little bit differently than, say, a regular plant expo. We're kind of like glamming it up this year. So we've tried to like be a little bit different from everybody and not just be a plant expo, but an experience. So that's why we've decided to go all out and we're going to dress up and we're going to decorate. And yeah, we just really want to bring a different experience this year. So
Little surprises we're not quite announcing.
Okay.
Some cool little touches that you're going to have to go to see, but we're really, really excited about those.
Well, this episode is coming out the Monday before the Plant Expo. So if there's anything that you want to announce, you're welcome to. We won't disclose it until that Monday, but we can get to that. I want to ask, what is it that inspired you all to do the Plant Expo, and how did you all come together on this? Have you known each other for a long time, or did you all come together through plants?
We came together through plants. Pretty much all the relationships within this community has been through plants. we started this, 5 years ago, when COVID, so it's been a huge journey, but we met, at the Charleston plant market. Rachel came down and vended, for there. And, we just started talking and we clicked and I was like, hey, let's do something more. And that's when Charleston, Southeast Rare Plant Market expanded into other cities in 2023. We just kind of took off from there. And the inspiration, to be honest, was 4 years ago now. I went to the International Aeroid Society's big plant expo down in Miami, and I love them. They're based on education, and they bring the vendors from around the world. And it's not that we're not based on education. We're just again trying to be a little different and more of an experience, bringing all the plant vendors from around the world at the same time.
Yeah, well, and in truth, I think that is actually part of what a lot of experiences that lead to new conventions is that. Even for, here in Columbia, Soda City Comic Con is coming up, and it is increasingly getting bigger and bigger. We're seeing more and more people and more guests. Last year, they finally hit, they crossed that threshold of the 10,000 attendees. And I think that the whole reason behind it was because Brock and I guess his partner, Steve, they basically said, they would go to conventions all over the country, and they would set up as a vendor and things like that. And they just decided, I think we could do this better. And utilizing the space that they do, that's how they built up on it. So it's, that's not the first time I've heard that story. Even for some of the attendees of it, that there's always something, I guess, outside the box thinking that they come up with, that they're like, I could do this. So,
yeah.
But it's still a difficult thing to do. The logistics, the marketing, the contacts you have to have, the cost.
We were literally talking about this yesterday, that I also volunteer for a convention, same as Columbia Comic Con. Shout out to my Epic Girls. I love them. They're a great company. A lot of really great people to work with. And again, it's working with talent, celebrities, and it's a live show. It's a moving show. You can plan it. And there are so many different moving parts that inevitably something's going to hiccup along the way, just because there are so many moving parts. And because it's a live show and happening in that moment, sometimes you just have to pivot and things change. And It's just a very complex dynamic of an event, if you will. So,
well, to sort of segue into that, what is one of the biggest challenges of putting together an expo specifically designed around plants, rare plants, things like that? Also, I just want to point out the website to get tickets for this year's is you can go to rareplantsmarket.com. That's where tickets are available. Check the show notes; they're available there. But so what is the biggest challenge of putting together an expo like this?
Vendors. It's honestly, it's just timing. Everything is timing. We're so new that, you know, we don't have a huge cash flow. So, it's just timing, getting vendors, getting influencers, getting those connections, like you talked about, you know, us going to other plant shows, just to get some connections, to welcome people, to let people know about what we're doing here in South Carolina. A huge part of why I believe that we are successful here in South Carolina is our local plant community. We really, you know, built our roots with our markets here in South Carolina and, you know, some major cities here. And we expanded a little bit into North Carolina. And I think that really just helps with the marketing to get the word out, because we're on the ground at these markets actually marketing the Big Plant Expo. So it's all about the community. It's all about connections, you know, and just welcoming everybody as, you know, human beings. We're all the same. I think right now a lot of people are getting, you know, mixed up with that. And we're trying to bring all that back in community and, you know, just having a good time. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, whatever. You know, we just want everyone to have a good time. So we're just, you know, really emphasizing on welcoming everybody from around the world and, you know, showing that Southern hospitality, trying to bring that back a little bit. I feel like in my own life, you know, you're walking around and it's just not pleasant out there these days. So we're just trying to bring some sparkle back, honestly. And I think that's what we mean by experience, is just, you know, let that guard down and just have a good time. And the people that we have in our community are just absolutely amazing.
Now, so I think my personal perception is a little bit different. I'm not worried about the vendors. The vendors going to come. People going to talk, right? I think for me, poor Renee, bless her heart. I'm just going to give my my this for Renee real quick. She is a workhorse. We are a two-person team. It is me and Renee. And Renee does a majority of the back office and stuff. And she is, I don't think I tell you enough how truly amazing you are. And I just want everybody who's ever going to listen to this to know. Like, I know I do my part. And sometimes Renee's like, Rachel, did you do this? And I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot. But, you know, Renee really has put her heart and her soul into everything that is the markets. She runs all the locations, minus the one that I run here in Lexington. She goes hard into everything she does. And yeah, so I feel like that's kind of one of the bigger challenges sometimes for us, is just because it is the two of us. And she takes on so much, but she makes it look effortless. So I love you too.
How many markets does SE Rare Plants run?
We have 5 locations now. Wow. We're in Charleston, Charlotte, North Carolina. We're in Greenville, Lexington, and Merle's Inlet. And then
go ahead.
And I was just going to say, we have our big once a year expo in Columbia.
And that's not to say that there aren't other cities in South Carolina literally emailing us, asking us to go to them too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we can only do so, we can only do so much. I don't know.
Well, how many markets do you all run like in a month? Like, because I imagine it's weekly. I mean, you have some that are run weekly. No, none of them run weekly. Okay.
So,
time off
for a moment there in June, we were weekly, really trying to market the expo. Next year, I can't run like that. So all of our locations next year will have an event in the spring. We'll have our big plant expo, and then they'll all have another event in the fall. So that's still 10 events, 11 events, I guess, with expo. So it's just a lot to do and then put on the expo. So, but I know the community also relies on us, you know, a little bit financially. We've become a big part of them. So we try to continue to do that because we have vendors who consistently travel with us to every city. So, you know, and we have, and of course, we still have the local vendors of that area that join us. But for the most part, we have like 6 vendors who travel with us consistently. And I really try to keep that in mind when scheduling us, because, you know, I know that we have become, you know, a beacon, not only to the vendors, but to the whole community. So,
yeah, that's encouraging. What was the decision behind having the big plant expo here in Columbia, South Carolina? Like is it just centrally located?
Yeah, it's the heart of South Carolina. Like, it's just hard to honestly beat the location when, you know, we are all pretty much South Carolina based with our markets that, you know, it's like 2 hours to any location. Like, so if you're traveling from Charleston or, you know, Charlotte or Greenville or the Georgia area, it's all like centrally located. So it just made more sense to us to put it there than say like Greenville or Charleston.
Well, specifically about this year's Big Plant Expo, again, State Fairgrounds, August 26th and 27th.
July.
Tickets available.
July 26th. July,
August, mother of pearl. Sorry. Yeah.
Don't come in August. July. They're going to be like, where is everybody?
No. Yeah, there's something else going on that weekend. No, July. Yeah, so July 26th, 27th. What are some of the can't-miss features that are going to be available this year?
I'm sorry, the what?
The can't miss features, the big things that are going to drive a lot of potentially people that haven't ever been to the Big Plant Expo.
Well, this year we have some guest speakers. We have the Pond Don coming from Texas. He's going to be talking about growing in passive hydroponics. We have Tyler Thrasher, which we're super excited about. Our own little mad scientist is going to come and talk. He's self-claimed that, so I'm not calling him that.
because he probably wears his badge.
He does. We're very excited about. He'll be talking Sunday only because he will be vending for the weekend because he's bringing a lot of his stuff, his glow flowers, his crystallized insects and all the stuff he's been working on. And he's got some super rare crassula succulents that he made himself that he'll be bringing. So yeah, we're super excited. We also have Jeremiah DeVore, who's a local native from Riverbank Zoo Botanical Gardens. He's going to be talking.
I know Jeremiah.
He's going to be talking about native plants. We're really excited that he can bring that to the community. You know, how to get the native plants, why they're important, all that good stuff. Who else do we have speaking? I'm missing someone.
We have Rusty.
That's it.
Rusty's Exotics,
speaking about orchids, the weird, the beautiful. And then he's also going to be doing another talk on the other day about growing with fake lights, artificial lights. Goodness, lights. My brain. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My brain just totally went. Boop.
So. No, you're good. No, I think that's one of the things that's really interesting about the plant community is, you know, regardless of someone's experience level or their expertise level, there is such a level of pride in what it is that they do. Even, you know, like friends of mine that are going to be attending, my wife, I mean, you know, like this plant here, which she would have to tell me exact name. I recognize it because of its caramel coloring in the leaves and things like that. But like, there is such a level of pride for people when they buy a plant, then they take it home, and then, you know, 6 weeks later, it's still alive, and you know, a year from there, the potential that they're propagating it into more plants that they can either put around their house or, you know, it's such an interesting community to see grow from people that maybe you didn't expect that, you know, type of emotions out of. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these plant expos, I think, are yours specifically, it's the type of environment that really fosters the strengthening and growing of that community. Because, you know, my wife's best friend, Penny, who owns Penny's Plants, is going to be one of the vendors that's going to be there this year. I know she was there last year. That people should really go by and check out the plants that they have, because one of the things that they're planning on doing is having lower cost plants, so that, you know, to really get those first time plant buyers or maybe the ones that haven't expanded into, you know, us having greenhouses in our backyards. It really is I am envious of the community that it's built, because they really seem tied to enjoying what they're doing. And there's so much care that has to go into taking care of the plants. You know, if they get bugs, then you have to spray for those bugs. You have to make sure that they're constantly being, you know, you're watering them, especially in South Carolina, where we go through feast or famine when it comes to rain. So what is potentially maybe some of the wildest or rarest plants that we might see at the expo this year?
I don't know if it's going to be the rarest, but maybe the most expensive.
Okay. All right.
I feel like a lot of some of the more expensive Monstera, the Bulbasaur that has recently come out in the last year or so, we'll probably see people are selling that for a lot.
Silly amounts of money, but hey. Anybody else's.
Yeah, so. We don't have a list of what the vendors bring. I mean, I have a general idea of what they're bringing, but they don't give us a list. I would love to see some rare cycads this year. That seems to be the genus that seems to be kind of popping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anthuriums has been huge for the last couple years. But I really think that it may not be so much rare this year, as I think that you're going to start seeing the more expensive stuff, because those are the vendors from like Thailand, Vietnam that are coming that have those plants. So that it's also amazing, because I was speaking to some of our local vendors that, like, I don't think that some of our local vendors understand what we're bringing to them, meaning that there's a lot of plants that, and vendors that they may not necessarily have the opportunity to, you know, ever meet anywhere else, you know. Just, again, back to connections, you know, having these plants available to growers in South Carolina, bringing the South Carolina plant community these plants that they've never seen at, you know, prices that, you know, are better that maybe than online. I know online plant sales seems to be growing in popularity these days. But I think the expos and the markets will always have their place, because, again, we're back to community. People want to see, touch their plant. They want to see what they have, what the grower is like. Ask them, you know, all the questions about the plants, how to grow them. So it's going to be really exciting to see, you know, next season's markets, what our local vendors are going to have for new stock and, you know, the turnaround. Because, you know, after a while, you see the vendors, they're selling the same things. And the community, I think, gets to see that as well. But after Expo, you know, I think that the community is going to, you know, be refreshed with some new plants circulating around. And again, we don't have a list what the vendors bring. So there could be some extremely rare plants that we're just unaware of that will be there. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I've seen pricing from TikTok videos and YouTube shorts of some of the plants that show up at some of the potentially what people are planning on bringing to the Big Plant Expo, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars for plants. But I hadn't even given that any consideration as to, you know, the fact that you may have people that come and as vendors that will buy a plant off of a vendor that isn't one would find here in Colombia.
Oh yeah, we do.
And then they propagate that, and then their potential. So you're now the market is becoming
a cycle. Yeah.
That's a really cool thing. What are the logistics of a vendor having, you know, coming from say Thailand with their plants? Like that seems like an endeavor.
It's a lot.
I'm not even going to begin to try to understand that because I know as a local vendor, it's a lot of work traveling just, you know, 2 hours. I live in Charleston, so if we would go to Columbia, 2 hours. I know what that logistics are. So I know we've had a lot of vendors, you know, asking about airports, stuff like that. They're flying a lot of their stuff through the Columbia airport. Most all are actually flying them through Miami because they need to be inspected. And then they actually are transporting them a lot through that way. So there are a lot of logistics. And with growing, you know, Rachel and I have talked about possibly expanding our functions to try to help that with, you know, having a place for these huge vendors to be able to send their plants to the area sooner so that they could be here ready and they don't have to worry about it all like in one day or over the weekend. They have the plants would have time to, you know, acclimate and stuff like that. So it's all part of growing as a show. Things that we're looking into do to help with some of those logistics for them. It's something that it's a lot. Unfortunately, some of the logistics don't work out, meaning that like one of our influencers weren't able to get their documents in time to be able to travel. So we're unfortunate, but we're twisting it up and doing the best that we can, and we're going to have a live virtual meeting with Only Plants. He's in Indonesia, so
I know that there was a lot of disappointment over him not being able to be here in person, but you've pivoted.
We pivoted, and guess what? He will not be there.
We're going to make it work.
Like Renee said, he will be there virtually, but we have a fun little something we're planning. So you're going to have to come and see, and it's super cute, and it'll give you a good chuckle. And we know it won't make up for Sean's absence, but at the same time.
Maybe next year.
I feel like we nailed the button up end on how to help with that at the show. So you just got to come and see.
No, I think that's great that he's still going to be included and that you know, can't be there in person. Well, it's still going to work out to the benefit of everyone attending the expo. So I want to ask you both, what was it that got you both into plants? I guess, Rachel, we'll start with you. What was the big thing about plants that really made you like, this is what I want to do?
Well, it's funny. I've been asked this question before, and without too much terrible like detail into family and all like that. When I was little, my grandmother had like a farm, and so plants were always a thing. We had alfalfa fields out there. My grandfather used to irrigate. My uncle, he loved his fruit trees and he was out there watering every single day. And, you know, obviously we ate all the fruit that came from them. But my grandma has always been somebody who loved plants. And ever since I was little, I would help her. And it wasn't then that I was like, oh my gosh, plants are my jam. But it's something that's a fond memory that I can actually look back and be like, you know, this, I can associate this and the caring of something. And that was instilled in me at a young age. And I've always had plants off and on, and I'm not going to lie, I've killed my fair share.
Who hasn't?
RIP little guy. Sorry. But
good intentions though.
Yeah, right, of course.
Right. That matters. It matters. I tell my it other does. Ones, I'm like, shh, nobody said anything. You don't know about the other guys. You know, but it probably happened a handful. Like my first like hoarding case of like serious collecting was actually orchids, plain Jane grocery store, Phalaenopsis, like just plain orchids. And then I fell into a Facebook group that was water culture for orchids because I couldn't keep them alive in medium. And I was like, oh, could this be a thing? Oh yeah. Turn
ice cubes. Ice cubes didn't help you.
Huh?
Ice cubes.
Ice
didn't
cubes. Oh God, alive? Please. No, never. No. Also, I was actually never the person that actually followed those directions. Nay, nay, no. Orchids don't need ice cubes.
Also, orchids. Orchids historically, number one, right above tribal tattoos, as far as what people mostly get themselves tattooed with, is orchids.
Well, I mean, really? They're pretty flowers.
Yeah. They are very pretty.
So, I mean, going from orchids and then starting to hoard them in the way that I did, and then I started buying like tropical houseplants, just like on Facebook Marketplace, and I was in a few houseplant groups, and then one day, like, I just had this. I was like, you know, I'm going to make my own group. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to make my own group. Nobody's big in Carolina Midlands area. There's no like, there's plant groups, but I was like, none of them have like super active members. And like, no, I'm going to make one. So I actually contacted a friend of mine, Tiffany, who I had bought some albos from when albo prices were like, and she gave me a great deal. We became friends. I was like, hey, you want to start a plant group with me? She's like, girl, let's do it. And I was like, okay. So then we did that, and then it just kind of blew up into being probably one of the biggest BST group, buy sell trade groups in the area. Yeah, and so then that kind of happened, and then I had met Renee vending at a market, and then we talked, and we made our BSTs friends, and then, you know, that's kind of ties back into where we met and started working together, so.
Well, Renee, what was your first plant experience? What was it about plants that I guess that led you down this path?
Honestly, my husband laughs at me because I couldn't keep a plant alive like a while back. it was between raising kids or plants, and at that time it was my kids, so I never kept a plant alive because, like, you know, you said before how much, you know, care and attention it does really take to keep some of these plants alive is it's like some of them are really our babies, like, and when we pay some of the prices, they are our babies. So but really my plant obsession, I guess, started when I bought my house in 2017. I had found shampoo ginger growing in my yard, and it was the strangest, weirdest, coolest plant I had ever seen. And I thought I didn't really think it was a thing until I started researching it. And then again, kind of like going online, and there was a lot of like garden plant swap groups on the Facebook groups at that time. And I just started swapping plants with my shampoo ginger. People were ecstatic about this shampoo ginger. And then when 2020 happened, that's when the houseplant obsession started, because we were all locked in on our phones buying plants. And then by the end of 2020, it happened so fast. I had so many plants that I needed to get rid of some, or, you know, we wanted to trade and get more. And so, you know, the plant swap happened in Charleston, and then it's just grown from there. So I started out, you know, selling as a vendor my own propagations. And, you know, I didn't like shipping plants because that was still a big thing. It's still a big thing with online sales. And it just stresses me out so much. So I was like, what can we do? And that's when the market started happening. And I really enjoyed, you know, meeting the people, talking to the people about the plants, trading plants. That's the coolest thing, is trading plants with people, cuttings and stuff like that. It's just, you know, increasing your own collection without having to always spend money is always a bonus. And you know, again, back to the connections, making more friends that way. I met so many friends, you know, meeting in a Home Depot parking lot trading plants back then, that, you know, really that's how the community started, was me talking to all these people, and they all wanted a place to meet, and it just kind of grown. It's just grown from there.
Yeah, I can't imagine the stress of being the plant shipper, because on the receiving end, like, I know, I recognize the stress of you know, Julie going through the reception of, or, you know, like, constantly.
Is it
going
to make it to me alive? Is it going to be melted?
Yeah.
Is it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Am I going to be home when it gets here?
As a seller, it's the same. You know, really, you're praying for the best, you know, especially, you know, you try to do your best with, you know, cooling packs or heating packs, but, like, you're at the mercy of the postal service and the weather. And
yeah,
sometimes you're just not good. And, you know, when you're spending a few hundred dollars on plants, it's hard for both the receiver and the shipper, you know, to lose that money either way, no matter who it is. So, it, you know, again, it's just back to, you know, being able to meet the person who's growing your plant, not worrying that it's going to melt in the mail, freeze in the mail, whatever, you know, season that we're in. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a really great time. Our local breweries have also been amazing, supporting us as well.
Yeah. Like, yeah. How's that partnership, worked out? How did that come together?
So when we first started, it was on one of the members' like vacant lots, and we joke because it was a vacant lot, so a lot of people would say it was the murder lot. drive up, and it's like, is this where we're supposed to be? This doesn't. So it grew to the point we couldn't be there anymore because so many people were there. So we started looking for alternative spots. And really, breweries were kind of an amazing concept. They lend us the space, and then we bring them the people. So it's a really great partnership so far. It's been amazing. They have all welcomed us. We have breweries contacting us on a regular, asking us to go there, because we do bring, our markets do bring a lot of people. So it's just a great working partnership for everybody involved. And again, keeping the local communities local and, you know, trying to keep them. What's the word I'm looking for?
Consistent, maybe?
I don't know. Again, my brain.
So,
like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. So question for both of you. What is the one plant that is sort of the albatross? What's the one plant that you just can't keep alive?
Just one?
the one that makes you lose sleep at night.
Right now, you know, I might not want to go through. Which one's yours, Rach? I don't.
Girl, I'm literally, and I'm not even mad that if it died and I got 100 of them and it died over and over again, is it stankin' calathea? That's just me. I can't. They're beautiful. I got a teenage daughter. I don't need that kind of dramatics in my house. I'm good. Good.
I can't keep alive. It's not that I can't keep it alive. I just can't propagate it.
Oh, okay.
But it's a Epipremnum pinnatum, which everyone says is easy, and it's a family of the pothos, but it's
I'm learning now. I didn't know this.
It's a family of the pothos, and everyone always claims how it's like the easiest plant and to propagate, and I'm like,
you literally can't prop it?
Mm-mm.
I'm shooketh right now.
I've tried water, I have tried just perlite, I've tried it all, and I can't. The success rate is like, I don't know, 1 in 10. It's not good.
So you learn something even about your partner that you talk to every day. I'm over here like, wow.
I know. People are always shocked that I can't propagate that plant, and I can do some really hard ones, but that one doesn't like me.
Well, all right. So follow-up question to that then. If, let's say your house is on fire, What is the one, you can only grab one plant. What is that one plant that you take out of the house?
can I take a handful? Like, because they're all in the same area. I could just, like, just get, like, I could just, like,
should I do arms?
You just get one. You just get one.
It's going to be one of my anthuriums. I feel like the name I don't know because there's so many, but it's going to be one of them that I'll grab first. Everything
else. Is that because of it's beautiful or is it because of the expense?
Yes, because they're beautiful. A lot of times you can't replicate that plant again. Like if you get a cutting of the plant, you can replicate it and stuff like that. But like even seeds and the same plant, it's never the same plant. And I think that's why anthuriums are so interesting and awesome, is that you can get two plants from the same seed batch and they won't be the same. So my anthuriums are kind of hard to replace. So when you love a certain anthurium, it kind of hits home. Like, I love my Monstera elbows and stuff, but I can easily replace those. I hate to say it, but they're kind of a dime a dozen in the plant community now. But yeah, some of the anthuriums that I have, and again, I can't really name it. It's probably going to be the one closest, but yeah.
Okay. All right, Rachel, what's your one plant you're grabbing in a fire?
See, so me and Renee are very similar, that I feel like we both have a handful of non-anthuriums, but she and I are both like, anthuriums. But I feel like my answer is going to be a little bit different. And honestly, I'm probably going to say that I would grab my peace lily. And the reason being
sentimental
is,
sentimental.
It very.
That's the only reason.
One of my dearest friends gave it to me, and it was this big when I bought this house when me and my husband bought this house almost 10 years ago, and now it's like big. So, yeah, I think that would be the one that I would grab.
All right.
I don't have any sentimental ones anymore.
Aww.
Well, I moved 2 years ago and I sold most of my collection off and I'm regaining it now. So I feel like the sentimental ones kind of went then.
Ooh, excuse me.
Well, to pivot back to the big expo, Big Plant Expo, of course, July 26th, 27th here at the State Fairgrounds here in Columbia, South Carolina. Tickets, of course, available at serareplantsmarket.com. Again, check the show notes because I'm going to mess up E's and C's all day long. What role have you seen as far as like influencers across social media play in making the plant community grow? There's a lot of personality out there, and you know, even like I mentioned the plantaholic in Great Britain in the UK, who is just, he doesn't talk specifically about his plants, but he talks about the growing. So what have you all seen as far as the influencers playing a role in the expansion of the plant communities?
So personally, I am not as versed in a lot of the plantfluencers or plant influencers, if you will, as Renee is. She's really good with the names and the content. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy. My mind just doesn't associate the way hers does. But just watching as many of them as there are and as many new ones coming up, they all each have their own little gift in what they are able to give to the plant community and to the public, to their following, to online people, if you will. They all have their own personality. They all know what works in how they deliver their content to their audiences. And not everybody is for everybody, but that's the beautiful thing about being online and having so many different personalities and so many different ways that they actually can and do deliver content, that you, like, everybody has a choice, right? It's just like, I may not like Calathea, but you can. And then, you know, same thing with plant influencers and the way they deliver their advice, the way they deliver their messages or their little haha funny videos, whatever it may be. A lot of them are educational. while being capturing, as far as like whether it's funny and it gave you a good giggle, you know, Bearded's great about the giggles. There are a lot of influencers that are super funny, and there's a lot of them that are a little bit more quirky, and then there's a lot of them that are fashionistas, and they all have their own little plug. And I just think it's really, really neat for all the different personalities and people and teachings and ways that they do it for people to connect to that. So there's just something for everybody, just like plants. Like, it's the same thing. So I just think that's a really neat little space that they fill for us and in the plant community.
Renee, what about you?
I definitely think that they've made a huge impact on shows like us. They've brought awareness to the community that, you know, shows exist, honestly. A lot of time, I mean, they've brought some shows that I didn't even know existed to light for me. And, you know, these are shows that have been around for years that, like, you know, social media just works in mysterious ways on how we get to know things, like find out about things. But they bring a big awareness about the shows, what the shows are about, to their communities, which helps just bring the shows to light that, you know, that they exist and, like, hey, you know, come to them. These are amazing communities to be a part of. And if you want, you know, it's, you can do more than just buy plants online.
Yeah. I think also one of the things I wanted to ask was about like, what do you hope that attendees to the Big Plant Expo take away from this year as opposed to maybe last year, but something that you really want them to notice?
The imagination and effort that we have put towards the show this year, like, it again, like, kind of separating ourselves, like bringing an experience and not just because we put on markets all year. So, like, I feel like sometimes the bigger shows are just a big version of a market, and we just want to put on something that's different. Maybe sparks some imagination in some people, and just have a good time. Like, that's really just what we want, is just people just have a good time, find some really cool plants, meet some really cool people, and meet some of these influencers that they would never normally get an opportunity to meet on a regular basis.
Yeah. Rachel, what do you say?
I think that I hope for the public, I hope they take away just exactly what Renee said, mirroring what she said, take away an experience that's unlike others, that they're happy, that they're glad that they came, that they look forward to coming again. And for our influencers, our guest speakers, and our vendors, I think my biggest hope for their takeaway is our energy and our want for them to continue to grow. Our well wishes, our happiness, and our attention to detail, and how much truly of our heart and our soul that we do put into this. Money's money, money's great. But aside from that, it's so much more. It's just pushing these vendors to go another step, encouraging growth, encouraging them to vend multiple shows and to blow up and do well for themselves and to make connections amongst each other, and, like, really just pushing that sense of community out onto everybody. I think that's huge for me. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really cool. Last thing I want to ask you about the Plant Expo at the end of this, when it's all said and done, you all are a weekend, 2 weekends out from it. You've finally gotten some rest. Do you all hold any sort of, like, lessons learned? Like, what did we do this year? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So if you, very quickly, can you describe some of the things that you learned last year that you applied to this year?
So many. We have a new layout. The layout last year wasn't the best. We did so many different things from last year. I mean, honestly, we start kibitzing. We've already started talking about next year and how we're going to change what we've done this year for next year. So it's always constant. I mean, we'll be at the show talking about, you know, we need to change this, change that. So I mean, if we're not willing to change on the fly, we're going to be stuck. So we're it's always constantly
fine tuning. Yeah. Little things. It's a clause in a contract to the layout to where the placement of something is. Like every tiny detail matters. So it's constant everything.
Yeah.
We sent Stay out. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go, no, please.
We sent out a questionnaire last year to our vendors to kind of asking them what their thoughts were, where we could improve, what we could do. And we took a lot of those into consideration this year. We added a DJ. They wanted some background music. So we took a lot of what they said into consideration, because at the end of the day, the vendors are the most important aspect of this show.
Yeah, we have a show if we don't have vendors.
Yeah.
Period. So we're really trying to, you know, show them as well as, you know, the influences and everything that they are loved and everything. We, you know, offer them a free lunch Saturday and Sunday. I don't think any other shows do that. You know, we really try to think of them. If they're is there only one vendor, you know, we'll have a volunteer go and bring them their lunch. So we're really trying to be hospitable for every aspect, from, you know, the vendor all the way to the public. So it's really important, because, again, if we don't have the vendors, then they're not happy and they don't feel loved, then we don't have a show either. So it's a balance.
Yeah. Well, I think it's outstanding what you've built in just a few years. It's obviously one of the big events here in the summer, especially, you know, in Columbia, South Carolina. It makes up a pretty substantial part of what I see across social media, even for people that I didn't know were involved or that had a love of plants. So I see more and more people resharing what you all are putting on your Facebook and Instagram. And so kudos, outstanding job.
Thank you.
Just to remind everybody, there's still big things to come as far as announcements. Make sure to pay attention to your social media, because I know that when people arrive, they're going to learn as well some of the things that you haven't announced yet. I think that's really cool. It's the Big Plant Expo here in Columbia, South Carolina, July 26th, 27th. So literally, the Monday that this episode comes out, it is this weekend.
We'll be working.
Yeah.
We're going to be busy.
So make sure to get your tickets at serareplantmarket.com. You can find a link in the show notes, as well as a link to all of the social media accounts that are involved in this. It's going to be at the State Fairgrounds. I even wrote down Farmer's Market. Mother of Pearl. So the South Carolina State Fairground here in Columbia, South Carolina, seplantmarket.com, rareplantmarket.com. I'm messing up all over the place.
They can just check everything. It's fine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm going to, yeah,
we'll get them there eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So, before I let you all get out of here, because I know you probably all have, stuff that you have to do, for the guests that we have come on the show, we give them one of two choices of the things that they can do at the end of the show. They can either answer our seven questions, or they can agree with one of my, controversial thoughts. Usually that comes accompanied with my other hosts for the show. They're not here. So we're going to do seven questions. So I'm going to ask you both the seven questions.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
So the first question is, what was the last thing that you Googled?
Please hold momentarily. No lies. Let's see. I don't want to say. Monopoly Go rewards.
Oh. That's good.
Oh, I have shame.
Mine's not interesting. It's women's clothing.
Okay. Well, you know, I'll be honest. Of all the guests that have answered these, I don't think any of them has been as shocking as I thought that they might would be. So, you know, is what it is. Second question. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
That's a hard one.
No. I would read minds.
Okay. All right. Read minds is a good one.
Can I never age?
Sure.
Immortality, sure. I think, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that would be a superpower. All right. Number three, and we changed this question. When we first did this question, it was, if your life were a movie, what would the title be? But we changed it to give us some insight into the type of music you might like. So if your life were a movie, what would the opening soundtrack song be to that movie?
All I see is Tinkerbell and Disney.
Okay.
It would have to definitely be some, like, super hard in the paint 80s rock and roll something. Like,
okay.
Just give it.
All right. She's into the rock and I'm into the magic. That's how we work.
All right. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
So, I guess it's one food. It's a sandwich, but it's a bacon, egg, and cheese on everything bagel.
Okay.
This is extremely shameful, but I'm just going to say it. It would have to be Slim Jim's.
Really?
The mystery meat of gas station snacks. I don't know why. They're disgusting, but they're my favorite thing in the world.
Rachel's whole immunity system just died on her. She acknowledged that out loud.
Well, if the apocalypse ever happens, we know she's surviving.
Well, yeah. sodium is a natural.
So when you say one thing for the rest of my life, I figure, okay, so I'm going to pretend this is sustainable.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, Slim Jims, I don't think they go bad. I mean, they
That's
go
probably
bad.
Very scary,
but yeah.
But, you know, it's fine.
All right. Number five. What is your least favorite candy and why?
Black licorice, because it's just gross.
Same.
Gross. Yeah.
Weirdly enough, I really like Twizzlers, but the black licorice,
same.
It's an abomination to.
It
to
is. Liquor, like, who licorice. Decided that was candy?
Yeah. All right. Number six. What is one strange or unusual talent you have that most people don't know?
Ready? I'll let you go first.
Talent. I don't know. You got anything, Rach?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but I don't want to say it.
I'll show you. So, like, I can do this thing with my hand, and it's, like, literally, I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a war hand. Weird.
It's like I can bend that first digit on every single finger at the same time. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can. So I'll give you a hint at what my weird, unusual talent is. And I have to lower the music so you can hear this. But if I.
Is that out of your eyes?
Yeah, that's a sound coming out of my eye.
I just want to scratch my eyes right now.
Is that a superpower? I feel like almost.
I don't know if it's a superpower, but I imagine that there's some super villain out there that's like, I can utilize that for something.
I'm feeling very inadequate right now.
Well, don't feel too bad, because I'm pretty sure that happened because of what was probably a very long pronounced sneeze, and it created some sort of a separation. I don't know.
Wow.
Honestly, it's not great for when you have a cold. I'll just say that.
Yeah,
all right. Sure. Last question. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would they be? It's not an easy question.
No, I feel like we're going to be here for like 15 more years. That's a difficult one.
I would love to meet Marilyn Monroe. I'd love to talk to her. Probably my grandmother. She's passed.
Yeah. I've been told I ask hard questions.
No one's ever asked me this, so it's the first.
You know, honestly, I just don't even know.
For me to come to that question, I usually have to think, well, how awful is it going to have to be for them to sit in a room with me and watch me eat? Look, I don't go to Arby's. I will eat Arby's. I don't go to Arby's because of the number of open mouth eaters that I see the last time we went to Arby's, and it's completely set me off. I can't do it anymore. I can't. You know, nothing against Arby's, but you know, Arby's, you're more than welcome to be a sponsor. But
I'm just trying to think of like who's like in inspirational. I would want to like,
dude. There's so many people. Tupac. Like, I need to know the truth.
I'll tell you right now. Tupac. The truth is Tupac and Biggie. Sean Puffy Combs absolutely had everything to do with why they're no longer with us. That is a fact.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, but I think Marilyn Monroe would be a cool one too. And just from that time era and being a breakthrough kind of icon that she was, that would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, and what did the Kennedys have to do with her death? You know,
right? Like the whole conspiracy theory. We could do a whole other podcast. And then maybe even Elvis. That would be cool.
Elvis died sitting on his toilet after doing a bunch of cocaine and
I'm just saying, the stories that could be told.
Yeah, peanut butter and banana
sandwich. That would be like my worst fear. Like, that's how I died. Like,
people
found me on the toilet.
See, like, also me, I'm like, I hope that's the way I go. Like, out with a big bang. Let everybody
know. I want to go out. I want to go out.
That would totally be you.
I could totally, yes.
What is the most embarrassing thing for my family is when the EMTs arrive. Yeah, 100% I'm behind that. Not to put any, you know, not to put any hints out there. Well, listen, Rachel, Renee, it has been an absolute pleasure. I want to remind everybody that the big plant expo is coming up here, Columbia, South Carolina, July 26th, 27th, literally this weekend that you're hearing this at the South Carolina State Farmers Market. Go get State tickets. Fair. State Fair. I'm going to leave it in because there's nothing better than me making mistakes is essentially, that's the essence of this podcast is me saying the wrong things. State Fairgrounds, Columbia, South Carolina. Tickets available, serareplantmarket.com. Check the show notes. You can get tickets for that. And is there a limitation in the number of tickets you all are going to be able to sell? No? Okay. So as long as the doors are open,
bring it.
Tickets available at the door if they show up?
Correct.
Perfect.
Yep, available at the door and online. Our VIP ticket sales are closing, though, but they won't hear this, July 11th.
July. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. Unfortunately, if you're hearing this just now and you thought that maybe you could get them, then maybe I'll do a short of that. People can try and get those before July. But limitation on the VIP tickets that are available?
Yes. There's only 200 available.
Okay. Well, good deal. So again, everybody go check out the serareplantmarket.com for tickets to this year's big expo plant sale here in Columbia, South Carolina, again at the State Fairgrounds.
You did it!
Thank you again, Rachel, Renee, for being on the program with us. I hope that we can get you both on and do like a follow up to the success of the big plant expo here.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. That's going to do it for episode number 264. Thank you again to Renee and Rachel for being on. Links to all of our past episodes, podcast platforms, merchandise, and social media are available at our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com. And if you think our financial model of giving away free content and entertainment is silly and you're in the giving mood, you can become an official Nothinger and support the show. Members get early access to this episode as well as exclusive content. You can visit members.theallaboutnothing.com or you can find a link on our webpage. You can also give a one-time donation through the same link. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can call and leave us a message, 803-672-0533. You can email the show at theallaboutnothing.com, or you can join our Discord server, links found on our webpage. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. You all stay safe, be kind, and keep your hands to yourself.
The All About Nothing podcast is a product of Big Media and produced and engineered by me, Barrett Gruber. Thanks to Cake for our intro music, Sick of You. You can follow everything Cake the band at cakemusic.com. Thanks to Muff the producer for our outro music. You can follow Muff on Instagram at Muff the producer. You can follow me across social media by visiting linktree.com/Barrett Gruber. And you can follow Zach King on linktree.com/AANZach. Want to support the show? Visit our webpage, theallaboutnothing.com, and become a member. There are several tiers available that give you early access to episodes as well as exclusive content. To find links to our social media, podcast platforms, and merchandise to support the show, as well as past episodes, visit theallaboutnothing.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can email the show at theallaboutnothing.com, or you can call our number and leave a message. Dial 803 972-0533. If the time between these episodes is more than you can handle, check out our sister shows. What the Pod Was That with Carrie, Zach, and myself. Welcome to Wonderland with Ami. Politically Speaking with Erica, Kirsten, and Emily. And Black, White, and Blue in the South with Dr. Jamil Brooks and Bill Kimmler. Please subscribe and share this show. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe and punch that notification bell. Thank you for listening and hear us next week. Get ready, Columbia. Soda City Comic Con 2025 is turning up the heat this summer. It all goes down August 23rd and 24th at the Columbia Metropolitan Convention Center, and the guest lineup is already packed with fan favorites. Let's start with Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica and Bo-Katan Kreese from The Mandalorian and Clone Wars. She's a sci-fi icon and one of the coolest people to ever wield a blaster. Then there's John Heder, the man, the myth, the Napoleon Dynamite. From Blades of Glory to Surf's Up and everything awkwardly hilarious in between, he's bringing the signature charm to Soda City. And rounding it out, we've got Caitlin Robrock, the incredible voice of Minnie Mouse in Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Minnie's Bowtie Tunes, and many more. She's also voiced characters in Agrisuco, Amphibia, and Mr. Pickles, a true animation powerhouse. They'll all be there, signing autographs, taking selfies, and meeting fans all weekend long. And this is just the beginning. Even more celebrity guests are being announced. So keep checking SodaCityComicCon.com for the latest updates, guest lists, ticket info, and VIP perks. Make your summer unforgettable. Grab those tickets and come celebrate all things pop culture at Soda City Comic Con.
The preceding podcast is a product of Big Media, LLC, and is copyright 2025, all rights reserved.